Okay, folks, we are past 7:30, so I'm going to go ahead and mute all. As usual, you'll have the ability to unmute yourself. Please feel free to do so if you have a comment or question. Remute yourself afterwards so we keep background noise to a minimum. Later on this evening, thanks to Alan, we will have the contents of the chat window, the audio track, and the deck present in PDF format will go up on our website. Welcome all to any guests that have joined us tonight. If you, we always welcome guests at the Auto PCS Group meetings. If you want to join, I've pasted the link to where you can go to join in the chat. It's only $20 a year, but do feel free to continue to join us as a guest. We have a few things on the agenda there tonight, so I will turn it over to Alan to lead us through tonight's deck. Alan, take it away.
Okay, thank you, Chris. And we're going to start with a follow-up song stuff from last week, and about Suno.
Okay, thanks, Alan. So since last week, Bob and I have learned a few things, and Bob did a great presentation last week, as you'll recall, where he created a song using ChatGPT, and then he took those lyrics and he put them into the website Suno, and that PowerPoint's listed there that he presented to us. But we have learned a few things this week that we want to share with you. So you may recall that Bob did a birthday song for Bugs Bunny, which I think kind of set the tone for future endeavors for him on that site. So a lot of the efforts we saw that he presented resulted in bunnies, cute little bunnies, nearsighted hamsters, you remember. Anyway, so the two logos are there. So next, please. So I just wanted to say that it is as easy as Bob said. It took no more than 2 seconds, I would say, for ChatGPT to create a song that I did this week based on the fact that my sister's turning 66 and she's married Dandy and likes horses, dogs, and singing. And then in Suno, I picked a style of folk, I believe it was, and you give the song a title, as you recall, and you use the custom tab in order to paste in the lyrics that you just created in ChatGPT. And that takes about a minute, and it creates two versions. So Bob was right, but, next slide. Clearly, Suno determined that I was classier than Bob, because it didn't give me funny-looking bunnies or nearsighted hamsters or whatever. It gave me this nice graphic for my sister's birthday card, and the fact she owns two horses and a dog worked out perfectly. They didn't know she owned two horses, but that was just perfect. So, I'm going to have Alan just play a part way through the song to give you a demo. It's a little different than the one that Bob did last week. So I thought, and then I've got a couple more slides that I want to tell you some new information after.
Turning 66, oh, what a time. With Andy by her side, they've weathered every climb. She loves her horses, running wild and free, and dogs that follow, faithful as can be.
Idea. Thanks, Alan. So, as you can see, slightly different style, so that was fun. And then when you see it, automatically creates two songs for you, and then you can, you know, play the two and see if you like them. And then you can download both the video and audio by clicking on the little meatball menu there. Just download audio and video, but I just wanted to warn people, it can take a really long time. So I waited about 10 minutes and it did it, the first one. The second time I went in to do another one, and after 10 minutes it still hadn't downloaded either the audio or video. So So I refreshed the browser and then it downloaded instantly. So I do recommend that if it takes a while. It probably is giving a priority to paid customers, which makes sense. Okay, next. So what Bob discovered this week is that you can, recreate another song with similar prompts, etc. You just go in and make a third or fourth or whatever. So that was good to know. Next. And then he also discovered that you can upload audio. So we weren't sure what exactly you do with this. Perhaps you can upload your own song and it does a mix, a remix or something, or combines it with their music. Or I'm not sure, but you could play around with that and see what happens. Now, the other thing that Bob discovered, because he reads like 28 news sites a day or something, is that Suno is being sued by the three major recording companies for copyright issues because, of course, they're styling their music with probably some specific artists. I know Chris created one for his sister that he really liked, and it sounded just like Jason Mars. So you can sort of argue it both ways, I guess. They're not, to me, it's like when you ask an artist, well, what were your influences? So if they just said, well, yeah, we were influenced by Taylor Swift or whatever when we did our pop music, or a cover band that just plays other people's songs. There's, I guess they don't have to always give the copyright, always have to pay for copyright. So we'll see what the courts say about all this. Who knows how long it'll drag out. But Bob says that he's got a good lawyer if he and I get called into court. But I think we weren't selling our songs. I guess with the paid version, you can create a jingle and use it in your business, and that's creating money for you. So I imagine that's what they're after. That's it, unless Bob has some further comments.
No, I'm thrilled, and thank you so much, Linda. Your graphics are phenomenal, and this is better than I ever thought. I'm gone.
Okay, thanks very much, Linda.
Okay.
All right, so we'll move on to a computer basics item from Chris.
Yeah, this is an item that really bugged me about Gmail in the early days until I figured this out. There's quite a few things that bug me about Gmail, and they have some very unique ways of doing things. But one of the problems with Google is, first off, they give you a generous amount of space, 15 gigabytes, for free, and you can buy additional space after that if you want. But that 15 gigabytes is spread across every Google service that is out there, so that you're logged into. So whether it's Gmail, Google Drive, Google Photos, all the rest of them that are using up space, they all chew into that 15 gigabytes of free space, including things that are in the recycle bin, by the way. So Gmail, for a lot of people, can take up quite a bit of space. Especially after a number of years of using it, if you're not diligent at deleting emails that you no longer need or whatever, and especially if you have people send you large attachments or large embedded graphics in the emails. And the real problem is that if you try to clean out things, you can just do them randomly to clean out things, but if you're trying to free up space, you really want to clean out those ones that have the big file attachments or the big embedded graphics that are really chewing into your space. And unfortunately, you can't actually sort Gmail by size in order to find those big emails. Next. Unlike any decent email program in the world, like Thunderbird, which I show you a screenshot of Thunderbird, and you can have a column there that shows size, and you can sort it by size. And you can see here, I see at the top of the list one that's 2.8 megabytes, one email, and then it quickly drops down to 573 kilobytes. Well, very clearly you can see that deleting that one email will do a fair amount to clean up space. Cleaning up down below that is probably not going to do as much in terms of doing that cleanup for me. Next. So another problem is that and this is a real insidious one I find, is that if you have embedded graphics, there's absolutely no way to see how big those graphics actually are. So there's no header that tells you how big that email is. There's no indication in the body of the message. There's no indication if you hover over the embedded graphic. You can download it and then, you know, see how big it is on the downloaded file. But you can't just see how big is this file to see whether this is going to be big bang for the buck to get rid of it or it's trivial, leave it alone. Next. Now, if you have attachments, you can see in the emails. So if you hover your mouse over top of a graphic, it will actually come up next and show you the size of the attachment. So that can help you. But again, you have to find the email, then you have to hover over the attachment before you can actually see what size the actual attachment in that email is. And in this case, I have two of them. One of them might be significantly larger than the other. I don't know. But, you know, it's a very tedious process to try to go and find those large attachments in email in Gmail. Next. But there is a solution, and it's searching. Because if there's one thing that Google knows how to do, it is search. It's what the company is based on. And in the search box at the top, if you go to the right of that, you'll see that there's an option there for show search options. So if you click on that, next, you'll have things you can search on, including size. And so what I suggest you actually try doing when you're trying to do this sort of cleanup is go to that advanced search, leave everything else as is except for size greater than, and start with a large size, say 5 megabytes or something like that. And then that'll show you throughout your entire mailbox, inbox, outbox, what appears to be folders, not really folders, they're just labels. But it'll show you all of those emails in your mailbox that are larger than that given size that you choose. Go through them, decide which ones you can get rid of and which ones you have to keep. Then go and do another search with a smaller size, maybe bring it down to 2 megabytes, 1 megabyte, whatever you have to bring it down to in order to find all of those emails that are really big that you can get rid of, and then empty out your recycle bin because it still counts as long as it's in the recycle bin. But yeah, that's the way that I would go through progressively smaller and smaller until you've reduced your mailbox to the size that you can live with or allow more email to come in. That's all I have for that.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Tom has a slightly different take. He suggests creating a second, third, fourth Google ID and get more and more 15 gigabytes worth of disk space, I guess.
Yeah, you could do that. It gets real tedious actually using it, but that is an option. Google does not limit the number of Google accounts that you can create.
But if you don't use them, they will delete them. So if you've got old Google accounts kicking around that you want to keep, then you have to go and refresh the ID.
Yeah, log in every now and then.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot, Chris. So next up is an item here on backing up files from an Android smartphone or tablet to an external USB flash drive. And this arose because my brother-in-law backs up files this way. And he has a whole raft of photographs and music files. And he doesn't want to necessarily back everything up all the time. What he'd really like is a way to synchronize folders between the Android device, in his case a tablet, and an external USB drive. So something like Free File Sync, which is available for Windows and Linux, would do the job. Unfortunately, there isn't an Android version of Free File Sync. But I was thinking, well, you know, synchronizing folders to an external drive is a pretty basic operation. So there's got to be an Android app that will do that, just a matter of finding it. So anyway, here's an actual photograph. This is my smartphone. It's a Samsung A32. And at the bottom there, you can see that there is a 64 gigabyte USB drive with a Type-C USB connector, which is plugged directly into the phone. So this is going to be my backup device. Now, clearly, if you want to connect a regular USB flash drive, which will have a Type-A connection, then you need an OTG cable, which will give you Type-C male to plug into the phone or tablet to a Type-A female in which you can plug in your external drive. So you have to have the right connections to make the to activate the USB drive. Now, Android, as you probably know, is based on Linux. In fact, it's based on the Linux kernel, and Linux is an open source software product. So all the source software is available. And what Google's done to develop Android essentially is to modify the source code to customize the Linux kernel for efficient use on mobile devices, essentially. However, in recent versions, starting in Android 10, Google has now put several restrictions on storage or on access to storage. And that gives problems with connecting to USB flash drives, which blows my mind, but that's what it does. So they say that these restrictions are intended to improve privacy and security, but here I'm stuck because I want this app to synchronize my files, these are my files, to my external USB drive. So as far as I'm concerned, there are no privacy and security restrictions, but they're built into Android, so we have to work around them. Now, Google will let app developers request permissions for all file access. However, it's not straightforward. The developer has to justify why they want to do this and receive approval from Google in order to distribute apps on the Play Store. And they say that things like file managers and similar apps or synchronization apps would be similar to a file manager. They may be granted expanded access after filing such these requests. So one hopes that there are apps out there that can do that. So what do we want to do? The backup process. We've got this external USB drive and we want to store copies of our data files onto a local medium. Personally, I'm not interested in storing things in the cloud. I like them on my drives and, you know, in my cupboard where I know where everything is. What you find is when you start looking for a file synchronization app is that most of the apps, they will synchronize files and folders okay, but they will only do it to cloud storage. So you have to use Dropbox or OneDrive or Google Drive or something like that. There's a couple of apps out there, and I found this one. Well, I found this one called FolderSync, which is a free app, and it does do cloud synchronization, but it also will store files on an external USB drive. But as we've seen, Android file permissions are a problem, so that you have to deal with that in the setup. And when you run the program, it's fairly straightforward. But there's a few little wrinkles which I didn't think were terribly intuitive, but it may or may not work really well. And I've had both things happen. I've had it not work at all, and I've had it work really well. So let's take a look. So basically, we start off and we go to Google Play and we look for this Folder Sync app, and it's from Tacit Dynamics, which is a Danish company, and so we can install this on our phone. And once we've installed it, we run the software, and you have to agree to the terms of the license, which is a EULA here. You read it first. You can check the privacy policy, and then you have to accept the privacy policy. And then, remember, we have to deal with these file permissions. So right now, file permissions is disabled. So if you click on this, and it will take us to this all files access settings on our tablet or phone. And we basically need to activate this toggle to give FolderSync all file access permissions. So we switch that on, and then we're basically almost good to go. So here is a file manager. This is Explorer. And on the right-hand side, you can see an expanded version of this yellow box. So right here, you can see my internal storage. So this is the main storage on the smartphone. And you notice that its mount point is storage, emulated, and zero. And then down the bottom here, I have a micro SD card plugged into the same phone. and it has a mount point of storage OC27-99FD. So those are the kind of two main storage systems which you may have on an Android device. But now I plugged in this USB drive. So this Kingston 64 gig USB drive. It's mounted at mount media RW, read write, and then this ID string 2CF199BCD. And the reason I made this big is I had a lot of problems trying to connect to this thing initially, and I was giving it the mount point 98CD, and that didn't work very well. Anyway, it turns out you don't actually need to know the mount point. You'll just see this later on. So on this USB drive, I have created this folder called A32 Backup, which is going to be my test folder for the process here. All right, so we've, in going back to the folder sync here, we've given it the all files access permissions, and this is now a green checkbox. So now we can go down here and we can say add USB storage, and it pulls up this page right here. And this is one of the non-intuitive things. I'm looking for my USB drive, and I don't see it anywhere. And I go over here on the right, and I look at this more icon, and it's not there. And I look at these three lines here, and that don't remember what that does, but it's not that one. And this add a folder adds folders to my main storage down here, so that doesn't do anything. It turns out the trick is you have to go to the left box over here, the hamburger menu on the left. Is if you click on this, then you get the open from menu. So here is my main storage, here's my micro SD card, and now I can click on the Kingston USB drive, and then I can open from Kingston USB. I can pick my folder, select that folder, use this folder, and then it shows me the folder. I say use this folder, and now it says, allow folder sync, the program, to access files in this particular folder. So yes, we want to allow it to access the content of that backup folder because it has to write to it at some point. Right, so now we've basically done all the magic things to set things up. We can go finish. And then we get this screen. And of course, the obvious thing here is to press this button that says add an account, which I did, of course. And then it turns out what it's really asking you for here is, what's the account for your cloud storage server that you wish to use to do your backup on? Well, you know, I have a Dropbox account, but I don't want to use Dropbox. I want to use local storage. So it turns out, because I'm using this local USB drive, I don't need an account. I can just press OK right here, and it will go to this page, which is, I think of this as like the home page of the app. So you can see there's a couple of buttons up here. There's a whole bunch of information. And then down the bottom here, there's a menu, a list of icons in this kind of menu bar down the bottom. So if you want to get to the other functions, you use these icons down here. So the icon on the left is gets you to the page that we're looking at. This icon, which is a little folder, is the way that you set up folder pairs. The icon with the people, it says, is accounts. Well, that, again, is the cloud storage account, which I don't want. The little folder icon is how you manage files and folders on your system. And then the hamburger menu icon is settings and permissions. And we'll see how some of these we use later on. So the first thing we want to do, and the way folder sync works, as you might guess, folder sync, we're going to synchronize one folder to another folder. So we have to create a folder pair. So we'll create a folder pair, and we have to give it a name. The name is blank. Tap in here. We can enter some text. I'm going to call it backup now, because I want to run this thing right now manually and run my sync and see what happens. There are two different sync engines, the legacy one and the new one. This is the default, so I just say next, take the new one. And then you get into the synchronization type. So you can either have it two ways, the most current version of any file on either folder will get copied left to right or right to left as required. You can have it copy files from the right folder to the left, or more typically, you choose the left folder is your source folder, the right folder is the target, and you want to copy from the source folder to the target to the right folder. So we choose this one and say next. All right, so now we've got the folder configuration set up. We're going to do a left folder to right folder. So we need to set up the left folder. And I did a series of NewsF articles a year or two back talking about the Android file system. It's quite complicated. It's very confusing. And for example, right here, the SD card is not the micro SD card in my phone. The SD card is the internal storage of my phone. So that's fine because that's what I want to use. I want to use the SD card, the internal storage, and I want to select the folder from that internal storage. So here it lists the various folders. I can scroll down, and I've decided I want to create a folder pair. I want to back up this folder called received files. So I can select that, and it finds it here's the link or the mount point. And so now I've created my left folder, and this is the mount point. And again, remember, this is storage emulated 0, which is the internal storage of the phone, and we've selected receive files as the folder that we wish to back up. This is our source. Right, so now we need to do something with the right folder. So let's click on the SD card here, and now we get a choice of, interestingly enough, again, really weird. This is the internal shared storage, and this is the internal storage. It turns out those are the exact same thing. They're both the main storage in the phone. So why it's listed twice and with different names, I have no idea. The SD card here is the micro SD card, and the Kingston USB drive, fortunately, is named correctly. So that's the one we want to choose. And now we can go down and we can pick up the backup folder that we set up, the A32 backup. And there's the mount point, remember, mount media RW, and then that 2CF1, and then the A32 backup folder, we select that. So now we've got our two folders. And the interesting thing there is you notice that the left folder is the SD card, and the right folder is still the SD card. It's not the Kingston media, not the Kingston USB drive, which it should be. For some reason, it still thinks it's on the SD card. But the mount points are correct. If you remember back to my file manager, emulated 0 is my main storage, receive files, and media RWT2CF1 was my USB drive and the A32 backup folder. So now I can save this folder pair, which I've created. So now I've got this listing for a folder pair. And normally you would press this sync button. This is the way that you would do a manual backup. I want to synchronize these two folders like right now. But if you look at the synchronization options, this button right here, you find that the instant synchronization, I synchronize it right now, it requires schedule sync to be enabled. So again, that's another kind of non-intuitive, not terribly useful feature in my estimation. In order to do a manual sync right now, I have to set up a schedule for synchronization. All right, so be it. So I need to go to scheduling here and choose something. So I chose a daily schedule at 8 a.m. And save that as the schedule called daily backup. So if my USB is plugged in, whether I like it or not, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I will get a synchronization of these two folders. If 8 o'clock rolls around and the USB isn't plugged in, then it just skips that daily backup and waits until tomorrow and tries again, which is fine. I mean, that would basically work for me. And so now I can go back to this sync options tab here, go down to instant sync and check that. So now I can do manual synchronizations. So now when I've got my backup task here, if I click on this button, I can edit the various parameters. Or alternatively, I can now, because I've set instant sync, I can press sync and it will actually run the backup. Now, that's only doing one folder pair. So what happens if you want to synchronize your photos folder to one backup, and you want to synchronize your music folder to another backup, and you want to synchronize your documents to another? You need three folder pairs. You might have multiple folder pairs. It wouldn't be very convenient if you had to go into every one of these and click sync, 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 sync. So if you remember that main screen where we had the menu, the item, and all the different bits and pieces, one of the buttons was sync all. So if you have multiple folder pairs and you want to run them all at the same time, as long as they're all set up to be synchronized now, instant sync, then if you press this button, it will run them all at the same time. So actually, it's quite convenient once you get the thing set up. So the way it works, here is my emulated zero. So this is the main storage, and this is the received files folder. And you can see it's got an image and a couple of PDF files and another PDF file and then a bunch of other things. And here's my A32 backup before I do anything, and it's basically empty. So, but if I run that synchronization utility, then suddenly the Kingston USB drive, the A32 backup, it has exactly the same files in the target as it does in the source. So the synchronization has worked correctly. It's copied all the files. Now, here is a listing from the history tab on the main page. And you can see that I've actually run two backups. And the first backup here, the first time I ran it, it transferred 9 files at 4:52 in the afternoon. And then the second time I ran it, at 4:56 in the afternoon, I had added a file to my received files folder. And the second time I ran it, you notice it only transferred 1 file. So it is truly doing synchronization. It copied the first 9 files the first time. It didn't need to do those a second time, so it only copied the new or modified file, this 1 file extra, in the second go-around. One other thing that you have to consider when you're using a USB drive in Android, I think, is that you need to be able to safely unmount the drive. So on my phone, on Samsung, there's a file manager. When I run the file manager, it lists all the devices that are activated. This is my USB storage, listed here as USB storage 1. If I select this more icon, then it gives me the option to unmount. So if I click on unmount, then it gives me a message, tells me that the USB storage is unmounted. So that's basically folder sync. Now, I said that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And right now it's been working fine for me as I've described. My brother-in-law has all kinds of problems. He's never been able to get this thing working on his tablet. I didn't get it working at some points on my phone. And the problem was, you would tell it that you wanted to access the USB storage. It would tell you that it had the Kingston USB drive. But then when I went to set up the folder pair, it wouldn't give me access to any folders on the drive. So I couldn't set up a folder pair to back up to the USB drive. And that's been my brother-in-law's problem. And he can back up to an SD card, a micro SD card, but he can't back up to an external USB drive. So I put the question on the forum, are there any other options? And Harvey suggested an alternative, And he said, is this app suitable? And gave me the link. And it's called PC Phone USB Sync. And it basically does the same kind of thing as Folder Sync. It worked for me. It didn't work for my brother-in-law. And the other thing you notice is that this is a paid app. So if this app works for you, then you probably have to buy it. And it's going to cost you an amazing $1.39, which is probably American, so it's really expensive. Anyway, those are a couple of apps that work for me, but again, neither have worked for my brother-in-law. Tom suggested this program called Resilio Sync, which he uses to transfer, photos from his Pixel smartphone to another phone. So Resilio Sync, it says it transfers file device to device. So it will do it phone to another phone, phone to computer, and phone to PC. But my brother-in-law doesn't want to use a PC. He wants to stick everything to his Android tablet. So he's looking for a system that will go Android device to USB drive. And I'm not convinced that Resilio will do it because it only does it device to device. While I was struggling to find an Android app that would do phone synchronization, I came across this guy, Tech Guy Charlie, who said that you can back up your entire phone to a USB flash drive. And here's the link to his video. And basically, he's recommending a Samsung app. It's probably dedicated to Samsung. It's called Smart Switch. And personally, I don't recommend Smart Switch. My brother-in-law ran this, and it did work for his tablet to his USB drive. But what it does is it takes all of the files of a certain type, for instance, all the JPEG files on your Android device, and it stores them in a single folder called Photo SD on your backup drive. And then it goes and finds all your videos, all your MP4 files, and it stores all those in a single folder called Video SD on your backup drive. So sure, it's backing up all your files, but it's destroying the beautiful file folder organization setup that you have on your original device. So I've never seen a backup system that does that. Typically, backup systems, they back things up exactly the way that they appear on the original folder structure. So for me, this is a non-starter. I couldn't accommodate using a program that messes around with the file organization. So I'm left with I have a system that works, and my brother-in-law still doesn't have one that works for his Android tablet. So I'm posing the question here, is there anybody out there that has an Android smartphone or a tablet and you have a backup system that's actually working for you, and especially if it's a backup system to a USB drive, and more especially if it will synchronize folders from your Android device to a USB drive. So as usual, if you have the answer to all of the above questions, any of the above questions, send us an email to our suggestion box address, and I'll be happy to do a follow-up probably next week. Okay, anything in there, Chris?
No, I think we're good.
Okay.
I have one comment, and that's that Google does a good job of backing up all your stuff to the cloud, if you have room, I suppose. When I switch to a new phone, everything comes back down, including all the apps. So I think that if you have an Android phone, at least, you really have a Google backup that will back up everything that you have. The same thing is true for iPhones and iPads, but I have one iPad that I use once in a great while, and I haven't looked into that. But I believe that most Android phones back up everything that's on the phone to Google, and you can then switch to a new phone or whatever very easily, and everything is there.
True, but that's only feasible if you trust Google to maintain all your personal data files in the cloud. The whole point of this thing was my brother-in-law doesn't want to store things in the cloud. He wants it on a USB drive in his hand. And that's the difficulty, I think, Tom. Okay, moving along. A question came in a couple of days ago, and I think Chris has the answers.
Yeah, this I will credit Alan. It was a collaborative effort, the two of us working together to come up with the answer slides for this. So kudos to Alan for his work. So the question that came in was about a problem with Outlook saved Outlook messages. So the problem was the person had some Outlook emails that had been saved, but they couldn't open these ones. And so,
sorry.
There we go. Okay, going back in time. the person was asking, where can they download a free version of Outlook? Because they were using Windows 11 with Office Home and Student 2021, which doesn't include Outlook. And the error message they got when they tried to open up one of these saved emails was, sorry, the file .msg couldn't be opened. And disingenuously, it said, this file type requires a Microsoft 365 subscription to open. I'll say right now, it does not require a Microsoft 365 subscription to open it. It requires some kind of program that can recognize MSG files. More on that later. Next. So I took to, I gave up on Outlook quite a while ago. It's not that it's necessarily a bad program, but I found that Microsoft was constantly messing around with it, changing what it was, changing where you could get it, changing what suite it would be included with, and it was just constantly messing around with Outlook and calling everything under the sun Outlook. And so I got tired of it all and I gave up on it. But I took to Perplexity AI and asked, where could you get a free version of Microsoft Outlook? And so it came back with several options for free ones. Outlook.com, which is not really the true Outlook client. It is web-based version of it, which is not really the same thing. And I don't know whether you can actually go into Outlook.com and open an MSG file. Perhaps you can, perhaps you can't. I don't know. There is an Outlook mobile app, and that's available for both iOS for Apple devices and Android devices, and it provides email and calendaring features. Again, I don't know if the Outlook mobile app will actually allow you to open up an MSG file, but it would be a tedious process even if it did allow for that. You'd have to get that MSG file available to your phone or your other mobile device, then open it, and then decide what you want to do with it and so forth. Then it came back and said there is a new Outlook for Windows that is coming out from Microsoft, and they say they are rolling out a new version of a free Outlook for Windows 10 and 11. So it's obviously not here yet, because in its totality at least. So you may find that it's going to become available to you, or who knows when it comes to Microsoft. And they say it's based on the web app but runs as a desktop application. If that's the case, it might be interesting. But I'm currently not really interested in going back to looking at Outlook myself. There were a couple of other paid versions of Outlook that they talked about in the Perplexity AI response, basically either a standalone Office subscription or the Office on the subscription-based Office 365. Next. But it turns out that asking Perplexity a little bit more information, there are some free email viewers can actually view MSG files. Let me back up just slightly on this and say that MSG, what an MSG file is some email clients, Microsoft Outlook included, if you go to save an individual email, it will default to saving it as an MSG file. If you save it in that format, it bundles in all kinds of information that is in the header of the email, who it was from, who it was addressed to, the subject line, the body of the email, the attachments, and all of that, so that if you actually import it into another mail program that understands MSG files, it will display it properly with the from and the to and the subject and the body and the attachments. So it's encoded in a way that normal humans can't look at. Now, this is nothing really new. The ELM files are used by some other programs, such as Thunderbird, to do the same thing. When you save an individual email, it will save it so that it understands what is the from, what is the to, the message, all of the header information, and so forth. They're incompatible, but they basically do the same thing. So this person was actually looking specifically for the ability to open an MSG file. So there are free viewers out there that'll do that. And I'm pasting into the chat now these links. So the first one is Email Detail Viewer. And this is free for non-commercial use. If you're using it in a commercial environment, you're expected to pay for it. It supports MSG files as well as ELM. So if you save out from Thunderbird or some other email clients that save individual emails as an ELM, you're covered. ELMX, which I guess is an extended version of that. MIM, which I don't know what it is. BCF, I don't know what it is. And Winmail.dat. And Winmail.dat, they're pretty rare nowadays, but it used to be quite common that if people using the Outlook client sent something in what is known as Outlook rich text format, the recipient, if you were not using Outlook, would get a plain text email, and then you would get this winmail.dat, and that basically had all of the formatting for that email. So if you have any of those emails left flying around with winmail.dat, this will actually interpret that data correctly and show you the rich text format of that email. You can view the emails that it opens up, either MSG or the ELM or winmail.dat or whatever. You can view them either in HTML format or plain text versions. You can actually view the full headers and the bodies of the email. You can view or save attachments. You can view what they say is most attachments, and you, in all cases, you can save them to disk. So if it's not supported as a viewer, you can still save it out and then load it up into its native application. So that was actually, I downloaded that program, ran it, and it actually did a pretty credible job of doing that. Then another one is Encryptomatic Free Online MSG and ELM Viewer. So this, as it says, is online, and it supports the ELM, MSG, and it does support winmail.dat files as well. And on these cases, it actually uploads the file to the website. The interpretation gets done there, and then the contents get displayed to you in the web browser. So if you have any sensitive data, you may want to bypass that one and use Email Detail Viewer, which will keep everything local. Another thing that came across that originally Perplexity AI said was a free MSG viewer, and it turns out it's not, but I included it anyways, the Goldfinch PST viewer. And the reason why I'm including that is that if anybody has got old PST files lying around and you want to open them up and read them, and maybe you no longer have Outlook on your computer, this will allow you to open up that. Either the PST, which is personal store, or OST, which is the online store, so it's a synchronized version of a PST, basically. It's the same sort of format, just slightly different. So it can open up either of those file types locally on your computer. It's browser-based, but it basically runs as a JavaScript. And so it keeps it all local. Nothing gets uploaded to the cloud, which is actually fortunate because PST files can easily go into the gigabytes. So you wouldn't want to be uploading those to an online storage to do the interpretation anyways. It also is available as a Chrome extension. So you can, if you're going to use this a lot, I suggest that you try using the Chrome extension. It makes it really, really easy to access the functionality. So for anybody who needs to be able to access PST files or OST files, that's the first one that I've ever come across that is actually free. There's always been a lot of commercial ones around, but this is really nice that they made it available for free. Perplexity AI was wrong when they said that Goldfinch would actually open MSG files as a free viewer. They do have a paid version of a program that will view MSG files. They do say that they are developing a new app that will handle MSG files. They said that, I think it was about 3 years ago, and it's still not there. So don't hold your breath waiting for that one. And I think that's it that I've got for that.
Yeah, that Goldfinch thing is interesting because you say they said that they were developing the MSG viewer and an Mbox viewer probably in 2021. The Mbox viewer is now available as of, I think, 2023, but now there's nothing on the website that I could see talking about the MSG viewer.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Harvey has posted, if anybody has an iPhone, he says he uses a program called MSG Lens, which will open MSG files that he keeps in a client folder. So that's an option. If you use an iPhone, you can access your MSG files that way. So again, if anybody has any other ways of opening MSG files or PSD files, Chris is interested in those, I guess we'd be interested to learn about those. Okay, and with that, we are just about in the last 10 minutes, so I think we've covered all of the questions in the chat window, but if anybody has any other questions or comments that you'd like to ask or raise, now is your golden opportunity, as they say. Tom had pointed out earlier that he found Suno very useful. He created a birthday song for his ex-wife, or his wife, I don't know. And he says, alas, Suno has limited input to 200 characters, so no long song input. Is that for the little blurb that you give it to generate the lyrics, Tom?
Yes, I try to give it a whole bunch of information and to I went to ChatGPT and I tried to create a song there, and then I pushed the song into Suno, which was done on the last meeting. But it wouldn't take the full song. It only took 200 characters, so I just summarized the stuff I gave to ChatGPT and sent that off to Suno and created my happy birthday music for her.
I'll have to check. I did a song for a missed birthday as an Irish lament. It was very good, actually. But it was quite long. I have to check how many characters it was.
Yeah, I'll do the same because that's not many characters. And the song that I made for my sister had like three verses, and one I made for a friend had two verses and a bridge, and they were all different words. So,
Did you put the full thing into Suno?
Yep.
You just copy and paste.
Yeah, I just copied and paste from ChatGPT, but it was quite a long song, like a normal.
I'm discriminated against.
I think so. I just checked one that I did.
If I leave and don't.
For my
leave, I don't know.
I did one for my sister's birthday. And I just checked, and it was 1,673 characters, and yeah. I just pasted that into Suno, and it happily accepted it.
And liked you.
Yeah, I think you should try again, Tom. Maybe they didn't know what a WIF was.
Well, it was in English. It wasn't in Lisp or PL1 or any of the other computer languages, so... I don't know why, but it told me you're limited to 200 characters. And now, 200 characters, that would be more than the number of people in OPCUG who are online at any one time. But I felt that the characters didn't actually mean people. It meant, you know, like
but were you
individual
in
letters.
Did you go to the custom button? Because the custom button's where you can paste a ton of things in. If you're just pasting it in the first page, it thinks it's a search on those kinds of words. That's too long. It thinks you're describing. You got to click on the custom button, then you can paste the whole lyric in.
I think Linda is right. I'm pretty sure on the custom button, you get 3,000 characters.
Okay.
Oh, wow, I'm going to do it. All I have to do is wait a year.
Wait a year, that's all.
But I find the blank page, I haven't tried this yet, but if you just use your, I find the AI prompts hard, and that's why I'm trying so hard to learn how to use them. But it's getting to use the, just, I don't know, I haven't tried this yet. Please extend my song, or what, just say what you want, and it'll do it for you in general. Harvey had a comment here. Let Alan announce that.
Yeah, I'm doing the same because I've got one to send next week, and I'm just dying to give it to her.
Anyway, Harvey's doing great with that too. It's fantastic stuff. Thanks, Harvey, for the credits and the skill. The benefits are phenomenal in there.
And
thank you, Bob.
We don't know how long this is going to last being free, or if there are issues with copyright. So you might as well fun while it lasts.
Yeah, Bob, in the information I gave it, I said, you know, sometimes she says, "Oh shit," and you know, it did include it in the song.
Well, you got to make sure you don't give away the magic to everybody. For my sister's birthday, and we were up at her place for her birthday party, and there was Linda just saying, "Oh yeah, and it's free, and you just paste it in, and it does everything for you."
Why would
I said, "No, I commissioned an artist to write the song for you, and it costs an arm and a leg."
Well, it's funny because I do a newsletter at Christmas, and it's always in the form of a poem, just simple rhymes. So when I sent a song to my girlfriend, at first she thought I'd written the lyrics, and then she figured out it must be all AI generated.
It's pretty cool. I did a local newspaper for Henry Goulburn Way for about 15 people on Henry Goulburn Way, about one person on the street, I won't mention his name, who delivers flyers. That was in January. So I followed up after Linda's thing with a song for, I don't think Nick's here tonight, but Nick's flyers, and Elmer helps him. And I put a song out to the residents of the street with a graphic of flyers. It blew it out of the park on Henry Goulburn Way every morning, and it just, I put in about 5 or 7 facts, and the neighbors are going ballistic. They just, they're on Suno now, and some of them can't hear the MP3s yet. I'm working on that for support,
okay.
But it's tons of free fun. And if you haven't tried it yet, folks, please share your findings, and thank you all, Harvey and Tom and Chris and Linda, and jump in.
Thank you, Bob, for doing the presentation on it, because it was great. And my sister just absolutely loves the song, even though she found out that it was easy to do.
I love your presentations, Bob. You're doing a really great job, and they're very well done. Not only the content, but the style and the way you do it is really super. So thank you very much.
Well, I fixed the comment, but I'm essentially quite stupid. I forget to click on the little small things. I miss so much, and Debbie helps me. She's at the bingo tonight. But I miss so many things. I don't see them. I let them go by. But if somebody can learn how to upload and what you can do, I'm willing to watch that.
Yeah, that'd be fun to know. But no, it's great, and we love all your rodents and everything. So keep them coming, Bob.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
I want more creative drone videos where you actually go into mysterious places and go through the Ethan bunker and search through Parliament and do all these things. I'm waiting for the next one.
Thank you all.
You all are.
Okay, I don't see anything else in the chat for new material. So.
Yeah, so let me just remind everybody then that our next Q&A will be next Wednesday, which is July the 10th, same time, same place. And as always, if you have questions or topics that you'd like to share, songs that you've generated, send us some details, the suggestion box, and we will be happy to include them on the agenda. And as that's about 8:30, so I guess that will wrap it up for tonight for me. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, folks. We'll see you next week.